I invite you this morning to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Our focal text will be verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I love the way the Christmas hymn, "What Child Is This?" begins. Listen to the lyrics. "What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary." William Chatterton Dix, who penned those words in 1865, celebrates that the baby born to Mary is Christ. This is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah. He celebrates that he's the Messiah who is King. And as such, we should hurry, we should rush, we should make no delay to give him the praise that he deserves. In other words, because of who Jesus is, he deserves to be received and recognized as King. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, Matthew emphasizes this very point. The Magi who arrived from the east asking the question, "Where is he who's been born King of the Jews?" coupled with the fact that the chief priests explained that the Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem in fulfillment of Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Shows us that Matthew is stressing once again that Jesus is the Messiah, this long-awaited King from David's line who would shepherd, who would rule, who would guide, who would care for, who would save God's people. Sadly, though, we see in this text that God's own people, the Jews, they don't respond in the way that they should have to their newly born King. Surprisingly, however, the Magi, foreigners, show us how Israel should have responded to their coming king. From this passage, we see that Jesus deserves to be acknowledged as our king. Jesus deserves to be acknowledged as our king, and the Magi show us how we can properly do that at Christmas. Let's look together in Matthew chapter 2. Let's read the passage together. Beginning in verse 1, "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw a star in the east, and we've come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet: And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went their way. And the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this text of Scripture, Lord, which shows us how Israel did not respond and how the Magi did respond, to show us today how we all should respond to the fact that Jesus is King. Lord, help us to know how to acknowledge him in a way that pleases you this Christmas. And we ask this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. So Jesus deserves to be acknowledged as our King. And I want us to see this morning four ways in which the Magi recognized and acknowledged Jesus and the ways we can imitate them in doing so. Number one, I want you to see in verses 1 through 2, we acknowledge Jesus as King by seeking him. Matthew begins this section by telling us that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. These Magi were most likely astrologers, and they came from some distant land, most likely Babylon or Persia, somewhere in that region. Now, essentially, these Magi, they were pagan astrologers. They were wise men or experts at studying the stars. They studied the stars, and then they postulated on the significance and the meaning of those stars. And this seems to be the case with these men because they saw a star over the land of Israel, and they saw it indicating that the king of Israel had been born. Back in this day, stars that appeared in the sky, they were designating in interpretation the birth of someone of significance. And so that's what's happening in this situation. Notice what happens in verses 1 and 2 again. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the days of Herod the king, Magi arrived from the east in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? We saw a star in the east and we've come to worship him." Notice this, that these Magi, they came looking for the one born king of the Jews. They came seeking after Jesus. Now think about this with me. They traveled not just a hop, skip, and a jump to Israel from where they were, but they traveled about 800 to 1,000 miles to reach the land of Israel. This journey didn't happen accidentally, guys. It happened intentionally. They set their hearts and their focus on finding the one that's been born King of the Jews. And so Matthew shows us from the get-go of this text that one of the ways we acknowledge Jesus is by seeking him. We set our hearts and our minds to intentionally find him and to discover him and to know him deeper and deeper. There's got to be this conscious, deliberate effort to think about Jesus, to know Jesus, to experience Jesus, to prioritize him and enjoy him. Back during Thanksgiving, my family and I, we traveled up to Northeast Arkansas to visit my family for the holiday. Now, there's something about this trip when we did it. We're going to swap up my mic here real quick. So you guys just hold on just for a second. Alrighty, is that better? Hopefully that's work. That'll work. Sorry about all the popping there. But as I was saying, we made a trip up to Northeast Arkansas to see my parents. Now that trip didn't happen accidentally. We didn't just get in the car and coast our way up and then knock on my parents' door and say, "Hey guys, we just happened to be in this neck of the woods." No, we had to plan that trip out. We packed up. We thought about it. We got in the car. We intentionally navigated to that part of the state. Listen, here's the point. We're not going to coast our way to Jesus during the season. We're not just going to accidentally find Jesus during the Christmas season. With all the distractions, the things that are vying for our attention, we're going to have to be intentional to seek him out. And let me tell you one of the best ways that we can be intentional in seeking Jesus during this time of the year. One of the most easy ways to do that, to keep our focus on him and to find him, is just to be discipline to spend time in His Word. If we will just read His Word and we will open the pages of the Bible, in the Bible, we're going to be encountering Jesus' birth. We're going to encounter Jesus' life, Jesus' ministry, Jesus' teachings, Jesus' kingdom, Jesus' example, Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection, Jesus' gospel. If we will do that, the scriptures will keep pointing us back to Jesus when everything else is trying to pull us away from Him. And a second thing we can do that easily keeps us focused on Jesus is just by spending time talking with Him, carving out time during our day saying, Lord, I'm not going to let anything else get into this time. I'm setting this aside just so you and I can have this opportunity to talk, so I can share my heart with you, so I can talk to you. We acknowledge Jesus as our King by seeking Him. There's a second way in this text that we acknowledge Jesus as King. We acknowledge Him as King by rejoicing over Him. When Herod, the king of Judea, hears why the Magi have come to Jerusalem, he wasn't very happy. In fact, he was very bothered by this news that there was one born king of the Jews. The text says in verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. This word troubled, it refers to someone who is emotionally agitated. They're inwardly disturbed. It even describes a fear that is set in someone's life. Now, Herod was a very effective ruler, known better as Herod the Great. He accomplished much during his reign from 37 BC to 4 BC. He reigned for 33 years. He was appointed as king by the Romans over Judea. But there was a dark side to Herod. He was a man who loved his power. And if he perceived any threat to his kingship, he was prone to acts of cruelty. He was known to put to death people that were close associates. He killed one of his wives and two of his sons because he perceived them as threats to his power. And so hearing that there's been one born king of the Jews, this sets Herod off. And he sees this one born for Israel as a threat to his power. And so most likely all of Jerusalem was troubled too with Herod, because some supported Herod and they had cush jobs and they didn't want anyone or anything to threaten his power. But also others were probably troubled because they knew the extent to which Herod would go to protect his throne. So what does Herod do? Look at the text. Verse 4, gathering together all the chief priests, these are the religious leaders, and the scribes, these are the teachers of God's law, he inquires of them where the Messiah is to be born. Now notice, the Magi came seeking the king of the Jews. Herod asks where the Messiah is to be born. Let Scripture interpret Scripture. Back in this day, the one that would be born as Messiah was known to be the king that God was sending into the world. We learn also in Luke chapter 2, when the angels come to the shepherds, that a Savior has been sent who is Christ. He's Messiah, the Lord. So the Messiah was also the Savior. So in this one Messiah, he would be king and Savior, one who came to rule God's people and to rescue them from sin. So he asks, where's this one to be born? And they said to him, quoting from Micah chapter 5 verse 2, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what's been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So Micah predicts that there's going to be one who would come forth from the tribe of Judah out of the small town of Bethlehem who would rule the people of God one day. So Herod, hearing this, look what he does next. He secretly called in verse 7 the Magi, and he determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, go and search carefully for the child, and when you found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Herod had no intentions of worshiping this one born king of the Jews. In fact, we learn in verses 13 and following that Herod's intention, once he found this child, was to destroy him. He planned to kill this one who was the king born for Israel. But the Magi know nothing of Herod's intent. And so after listening to Herod, they are sent off and they continue their journey. We see in verse 9, after hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east, God is just miraculously providing them a guide in the sky to lead them to where Jesus was. It appeared again. It went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. Now look what happens when this star leads them to the place where Jesus was laying. When they saw the star, verse 10, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. I love the way Matthew writes this. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. He uses all these superlatives. This is kind of like what we would say today, like if Marty got a new bass boat, he is on cloud 9. Or if somebody got to go watch the Dallas Cowboys play in the Super Bowl, Jerry Tutt, he's over the moon, excited with that opportunity. They are thrilled. They are elated. I mean, they cannot contain themselves based upon the fact that they have finally found him who's born King of the Jews. Church, we acknowledge Jesus as our King by rejoicing over him, by letting who he is and what he come to do for us just thrill our hearts. This should be a time of the year, and not just this season, but all seasons, where we're delighting in him and we're glad and we're letting people know the joy of who Jesus is and the joy that he brings to us based upon what he's done for us in his life, his death, and his resurrection. Have you ever seen some of those reels where a son or a daughter comes home from service in the military and it's a surprise to their mom or dad? They had no idea that they were released early and that they were coming home. And so they're filming, and when mom or dad turns around to see son or daughter, they don't just respond like this, like, oh, hey, what's up? And then go back to just talking and what they were doing. No, when they see their son or their daughter, what do? They start jumping up and down. They start running. They grab them. They hug them. They start shouting. They start crying. Man, they are just thrilled because the one they've been waiting for has finally come. Church, the one that Israel had been waiting for had finally come in Jesus. And God's people failed to celebrate. Listen, they hadn't been waiting like you and I wait when we go to the doctor's office and we're looking at our clock and it's like, man, 10 minutes, they still haven't called my name. 30 minutes, they still haven't called me. 45 minutes, then it gets to an hour. Like, I can't do this waiting thing much longer. I got things to do, places to go. I just can't keep waiting. They hadn't been waiting like that, church. They've been waiting for 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, turned into 1,000 years, 2,000 years, which turned into thousands of years if you go all the way back to Genesis when God tells Adam and Eve that there would be one born from the seed of woman who would crush the head of the serpent. They've been waiting thousands of years, and God's delay was not God's denial. The time had just not been ripe yet until this moment in history when God finally sent forth his son. And listen, because he finally come, they should have been over the moon excited, and we should as well. Because the one, as Ferguson Sinclair says, the one who is the infinite one and with all power and all wisdom, the one who's worshiped in heaven by seraphim and cherubim, the one who could have just spoken a word and dissolved us all and destroyed us, decided to come down from heaven and to take on our flesh to be like us, that he might be our Savior, that he might live a perfect life, die and take the penalty of death upon himself on the cross and rise victoriously to offer us forgiveness and rescue from the judgment we deserve. They should have been rejoicing, and we should be rejoicing. Let me encourage you over the next few days, spend some time just choosing to rejoice, not to complain, not to despair, but to turn your mind to seek Jesus and just to rejoice over him. Put on some Christmas music. Man, we ought to be playing Christmas music from July to December to get people in the spirit of this year. Listen to some Christmas songs. Let those songs lead you to a time where you're just praising and you're just delighting and you're savoring Jesus Christ. Do that privately, do that corporately as a family to rejoice over Jesus. We acknowledge Jesus as King by seeking him, by rejoicing over him. And then thirdly, we see in verse 11 that we acknowledge Jesus as King by worshiping him. Now, some time had passed from the time that Jesus was born in the manger till the time the Magi arrived, possibly up to a year, 2 years. And now they're in a home, they're in a house. And look at what happens in verse 11. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell to the ground and they worshiped him. I want you to just get this scene. When they see him, they're pagans, guys, foreigners. They didn't grow up with the influence like God's people did with the law and Judaism, but they just prostrate themselves before Jesus. You can just see them bowing their heads and just humbling themselves before him. That's what they're doing before this child. They're showing him respect. They're showing him reverence. They're showing him, they're humbling themselves to show him honor, like the Magi. And we even more so, because we know more of who he is and all that he's done for us. We ought to respond to Jesus as King by worshiping him. What is worship? The technical definition is to realize the worth of who God is, who Jesus is, and to respond appropriately. We ought to be worshiping Jesus. We ought to be prostrating ourselves before him, in the sense where we're saying, you're king and I'm servant, you're master and I'm slave, and I am just surrendering everything to you, Lord. I'm just laying it all down. That's the kind of worship Jesus deserves. Submission in every area of life, not just a part of our lives, not just those parts that are comfortable, but every area of our being. That worship should be praising him in an ongoing way for who he is and all that he's done, honoring him with both attitude, inward parts, and actions, our outward parts, adoring him privately when no one's watching, and publicly, unashamed, to call him Lord and to call him Savior, giving him glory, serving him, gathering together with your church family faithfully to worship him publicly, and just everything we can do to make much of him and treasure him in our lives. Have you ever noticed, and I challenge you to do this, what everybody's doing almost everywhere you go? I went to get my bi-monthly allergy shot this past Friday, and I'm in the clinic, and I just said, I want to look at everybody. So I looked around at everyone. You know what they're doing? Everybody in the room. There may have been one person, except everybody's looking down at their phone. Everybody's reaching for their phone these days. We're just obsessed with our phones. We're always reaching for them. We're watching them. We're playing on them. We're texting on them. We're talking on them. We're checking emails on them. We're sending text messages on them. But everything's oriented around our phones. Our phones have such a pull on us. They just keep pulling us in. See, what we see in the text here today is Jesus ought to have that kind of pull on our lives. See, Jesus ought to have that pull where we're just being drawn to him, and we're being pulled towards him. He should be capturing our hearts and our minds more so than a piece of technology. Jesus should be drawing us in. We should love him and desire him above everything else in life. That's what it looks like to worship him as King. So let me challenge us all this morning, as we acknowledge him as King by worshiping him. What's an area in your life this Christmas where you finally need to say, Lord, it's yours? I know I've been holding on to it. God, I know I've wanted to speak into it and say, this is my territory. I get to call the shots, Lord. But what is that area in your life where you finally need to say, Lord, it's yours? And I'm going to take my hands off of it, and I'm going to surrender it to you, and you do with it what you want to do with it. That is a way we can all worship Jesus and acknowledge him as King this year during this season. We acknowledge Jesus as King by seeking him, rejoicing over him, by worshiping him. And then lastly, in verse 11, before the Magi leave and return a separate way, avoiding Herod as warned by God, they do something else to acknowledge Jesus as King. They acknowledge Jesus as king by giving to him. Look at what the text says. They fell to the ground and they worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These men didn't come empty-handed. They were coming to see a king, and they wanted to bring something to him. And so they brought him very costly gifts, valuable gifts. Gold, as it was, as it is in our day, is a very costly metal. Frankincense and myrrh are just fragrant perfumes and spices that were valuable. These men came to give Jesus something, and we learn from them that we acknowledge Jesus as king by doing likewise, being willing to give to him. Christmas is the season of giving. We celebrate that all the time during this year. We're out buying gifts to give to people, and people are buying gifts to give to us. It's the season of giving. One of the problems with this season of giving is we're so focused on giving to everyone else, we don't think about giving to the one in whom the season is truly all about. One Christmas stands out in my mind as a child that really impressed my heart, and I was sad. We had opened gifts. My brother opened gifts. I opened gifts. My mom opened gifts. But in all the buying of gifts that year, neither my brother or myself nor my mom thought to get my dad a gift. He's the only one in the family that didn't have something to open. And that really pressed on my heart, and I was going to make sure that didn't ever happen again to a family member. It wasn't intentional, just accidental. But church, I want you to think about this. Christmas comes so fast every year, doesn't it? And we're so busy giving and receiving, but oftentimes Jesus is the one that we're leaving out during this season. We're not ever stopping to even think, Lord, what is it you want me to give to you? Maybe that gift that Jesus wants from you this year is your time. You just are busy, busy, busy. You won't slow down enough to say, hey, Lord, I give you my time so that you can work through my giftings to bless others and to minister to others. Maybe he's wanting your time, and that's what you need to do this morning, and say, Lord, my time is yours to serve you in a special way. We gave you this Christmas Impact booklet every year. Use some of those ideas. Come up with some more creative ideas if you have them, but use your time to dedicate it to Jesus. Maybe for some of you, it's your finances. We, as Southern Baptists, because we're people of the book, and we know that Jesus is not coming back until this gospel reaches the ends of the earth, we are dedicated to praying for people to go on missions. We're dedicated to sending people on missions, and we're dedicated to giving so people can go on missions. Maybe God wants you to finally recognize it's not all your money. In fact, it's all his money. He lets you use some of it, and he wants you to dedicate a portion of it to give faithfully for his kingdom causes. And maybe God's finally saying, give me what is rightfully mine so that I can do the kingdom work that I'm calling you to be a part of. Maybe for some of us, it's a witness. You're faithful to church, you give, you pray, you study your Bible, but sharing Jesus just scares you to death. And you just can't motivate yourself to get into that conversation to tell someone else about Christ. Maybe that's the gift you give Jesus this year, because there's your neighbor, there's a coworker, there's someone that you finally need to just say, Lord, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to trust you with the results, and you need to share Christ. Maybe it's something else that I didn't name. But maybe for some of us this morning, maybe it's your life. You've had many Christmases to be a part of. You've sung the Christmas songs, you've heard the Christmas story, but you've never said, I believe it. You've never come to this place to say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I want to turn from my sin, and I want to believe in Jesus. I want to follow Jesus wherever he leads. I want what he did in his life, death, and resurrection to count for me, to cleanse my sins, and to rescue me from the judgment I deserve as a sinner who has offended your holiness. And maybe that's the gift that you need to give to Jesus this year, because you've never made that decision. You just need to say, I'm ready, Lord, to turn my life over to you. I believe in you. We're going to have ministers down front this morning. If that's a decision you need to make, we'd love to walk you through what that looks like in your life. I want you to imagine with me A company's hired a new CEO, and instructions have been given. They're to meet in the lobby of their headquarters early on Tuesday morning so that they can be introduced to the new boss who's in town. Well, the CEO himself shows up early. He's dressed in jeans and a sweatshirt. He's there. People begin to start filtering in. As he's standing in the lobby, people come in, and some people don't notice him at all. They're on their phones. They're doing their phone thing. Others walk in with someone else. They're talking. So, again, they don't see him. Some look over, glance at him like, oh, never seen that guy before. They just carry on with what they're doing. And then when everybody's in the room, they're all shocked to learn that the one they've been waiting for was actually the one they ignored and nobody acknowledged in the room. Guys, that's what happened with Jesus when he came. John chapter 1, verse 11 says he came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. Israel been waiting for this Messiah king, this Savior, and they rejected him. They didn't respond as they should have to their king that God had sent them to save them and to lead them. Let's don't let that happen on our watch this Christmas. Let's don't fail to acknowledge the one who's been born our King and our Savior. Let's give him whatever he asks. Let's do all things for his glory. Let's acknowledge Jesus as our King this Christmas. What do you need to do to apply this sermon to your life this morning? Would you please stand? Father, will you please work in our hearts? Let the foreigners in this text show us what we all should be doing, because Jesus has come and Jesus is our King. Lord, whatever you want for my life, I give it to you this morning. God, I say this so often, but Lord, I just want to be where you want me to be. I want to do what you call me to do. I want to say what you tell me to say. I just want you to be my King in every area of my life. God, let that be Lakeland Baptist Church's desire, that we acknowledge Jesus as King by seeking him, by rejoicing over him, by worshiping him, and by giving to him this Christmas. Lord, draw people to Christ. Exercise your lordship in our room this morning, and we pray it in Jesus' matchless name.